Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope.
For the first scripture reading, listen to select verses from Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, dear ones. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become bound to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. Herein lies wisdom. Thanks be to God. And from the Gospel of Luke, verses 51 to 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for his arrival, but they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Well, Andrew, my husband, and I have traveled the globe mostly to train people in godly play, which our children are experiencing this morning. And we've noticed that different cultures have different car honking expressions. Now, when one drives in Toronto, we often honk because we're angry or we're frustrated or maybe we're a little bit scared. Maybe someone is trying to turn left when they're not supposed to. Maybe they've put on their brakes too fast, or they've swerved into your lane, or they're just not leaving that stoplight fast enough for you. There's a very limited range of honking that we tend to use while driving. But in a big city like Mumbai or Jakarta or Hanoi, where traffic is extremely heavy and chaotic and there are tuk-tuks and motorcycles weaving in and out with seemingly no direction or purpose, there's a much greater range of honking that happens. In fact, knowing proper honking etiquette is really essential to getting around in some of the big cities of the world. Horn honking is an everyday language of communication rather than simply a sign of frustration or aggression. Drivers use subtle variations in tone, in rhythm, and in duration to signal their presence, to negotiate space, to request safe passage in dense, chaotic traffic. Now, our summer theme is consider the birds of the air. I wonder if you can guess what bird has been for this morning. The wild honking goose. You got it. Well, every autumn and spring, we hear the unmistakable sound of geese. Before we even see them, we hear their honking across the sky. They travel thousands of miles together in formation, and their honking is an essential form of communication. Using honking, they signal one another to coordinate a shift in formation. They encourage one another. If a goose seems to be tiring, his mates will indicate their presence, that they are nearby to assist. They protect one another, honking to warn of a potential predator. They signal the way to go in long distance or overnight migrations. And they socialize, bonding with mates, calling to goslings, and announcing their presence to other geese in the area. Now, maybe the honking of geese can teach us something about our lives as a Christian people. People living in community that we call the church. Just as a goose traveling alone will falter or fail, our discipleship should never be a solo journey. And it requires communication for success. We need teammates who strengthen us, friends who pray for us, mentors who guide us, and younger believers to encourage. You see, when one goose becomes tired, another takes the lead. We as a church also need to rotate our leadership. We need opportunities for everyone to serve and to be served and supported by others at other times. The church works best when no one insists on flying alone. Like a gaggle of geese, the church lives by healthy communication. Not gossip, not criticism, but encouragement, prayer, and truth spoken in love. Words can either scatter a flock or strengthen it. Jesus consistently spoke words that called people together and called them forward. And we also need something that our baptismal covenant reminds us of. We need God's help. Our baptismal vows over and over state, we will with God's help. I also find it interesting that in Celtic Christianity, the symbol for the Holy Spirit is not the gentle cooing dove that rests on Jesus' shoulder that Western Christianity has chosen. The Celtic symbol for the Holy Spirit is the wild goose. Because the Celts view the Spirit as wild, untamable, and disruptive. In contrast to the calm, predictable dove, a goose's honk with its loud and unsettling voice represents the unpredictable, life-changing nature of a Spirit-filled faith. In today's gospel, Jesus begins the greatest journey ever taken. A wildly disruptive, unsettling, life-changing journey. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Everything changes with that sentence. Jesus is no longer traveling to various places, teaching and healing, feeding and preaching, heading home at times. He's moving with holy purpose. Like migrating geese, Jesus is headed home, knowing his journey will be unsettling, life-changing, and will require sacrifice before glory. You see, geese do not migrate because the weather changes. They migrate because something deep inside them calls them home. Likewise, Jesus is not heading toward Jerusalem for a change of scenery. He's called toward Jerusalem and toward his ultimate home. He knows suffering awaits. He knows rejection awaits. He knows the cross awaits. Still, he sets his face. And he doesn't go alone. His gaggle of followers go with him, not always understanding why or what, but still they accompany him. Living faithfully as disciples means we stop drifting. We set our course with the Spirit's direction, and we journey toward our ultimate home. Our destination is not success or comfort or security. Our destination is the kingdom of God. Our true home is with God. Now, in today's passage, we also see several people who want to follow Jesus, but each offers a condition. I'll follow you, but first, I need to bury my dead. I need to say my goodbyes. But true discipleship cannot always wait for a more convenient season. The call comes, and we are called to commit, even when the journey seems hard and the destination uncertain. Following Jesus means trusting that no matter how long the distance, how dark the night, he will be with us, and we have a community to care for us and to journey along. No one puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Migrating geese cannot reach their destination by constantly circling where they began. Neither can disciples. Neither can the church. We all have our regrets, our failures, our old identities, are comfortable places, but the Spirit calls us forward. Faith does not erase the past, but it refuses to live there. We fly toward the promise God has prepared. Each year, the honking of geese reminds us that creation itself knows something about pilgrimage. Geese travel together. They communicate. They protect one another. They remain loyal. They trust the journey. And somehow, they always seem to know where home is. Jesus has set his face toward home, His road passed through Jerusalem, through the cross, through the empty tomb, and into resurrection life. Now we are called to follow, not alone, but together, encouraging one another, protecting one another, remaining faithful, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, trying our best with God's help. So when you hear the honk of a car horn or the cry of geese overhead, let it become a call to faith. Stay with the flock. Take your turn carrying the load. Encourage those who lead and those who struggle. Protect those who are vulnerable. Communicate often. Keep your face set toward God. And soar with that wild goose, never forgetting our journey is not merely about getting somewhere. It's about becoming the people God created us to be as we make our way home together. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.